I met the Underhill family about 1980. I was a young pastor. I was in England, Arkansas, which was my second church. I had always heard of Tom Underhill and how he was a car dealer turned preacher. And I had never, there was a place called, was it Underhill Caps or Caps, Underhill Caps, what, motor company in England, Arkansas. And I'd always heard about this dude. And he was a car dealer and he turned into a preacher. And I had not met him, but I met him while I was in England. He came and was in the first service that we did there. And that began a wonderful relationship. You know, there are people that come in your lives and they pass through your life. But Tom Underhill has been a person who has been in my life for a long time. And he has been we're peers, we're both pastors. We basically grew churches from nothing, although I'm the second pastor of this church. There was about 60 people when I came here, but I didn't know come here from Sikkim. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing or how to do it. And thank God for men like Tom, and I thought he was smart, and he probably didn't think he knew what he was doing either. We kind of felt our way through, and we have spent time together and preached together and counseled together and talked together. Well, I got to meet his family, and one of those was Susan, his daughter. She was just a young girl in 1980. She was 45. No, she was 13. She was 13 in 1980, and I got to see her grow up, and I've seen her go through some hard times, and most of you know, a couple of years ago, on Easter Sunday, her son was killed in an accident in the power plant at Russellville. And, you know, I can't even imagine. I know when I heard it, I just, whew. It just took the starch out of me. And you know, it was, and if it affected me that way, how did it affect the family? And to see God do something big in their lives, and to see not only her having gone through that, but still going through it, and how the Word of God has sustained her and is bringing wholeness and purpose in her life, no matter what it is that you go through, has just been a blessing to see. And so we invited her to come up for the ladies' meeting because, you know, honestly, we've had several people in our church that has been through that. In fact, in my ministry, I have buried two teenagers that were a result of an accident. And then just last March, we had another young man that passed away. And to deal with that as a pastor is very, very difficult. And for a church, it's very difficult. So I thought it would be good for her to come in and she can just share from her heart the things that God has done in her life. And I know today that it's going to be a great blessing to you. So would you give Susan Underhill Allen a good hand as she comes?
There's no place to quit. There's no place to quit the Word. If we quit the Word, what are we quitting to? And that's a tough lesson because when things like that happen, you just want to curl up in the fetal position and waste your life away and wait for heaven. But we're not supposed to do that. The Scripture tells us to occupy till He comes. And that occupy word's a strong word. It's a military word in the Greek. We're supposed to live life down here, and that's kind of what we talked about yesterday. We keep living, and we can't give up on the Word, even when it looks like faith isn't working. And one of the things that I got out of what Satan tried to use to destroy my family, God is using in other ways. He can take what the devil meant to destroy us and he can turn it around for good. And that's what we're, if we allow him to, if we don't quit, is that I don't judge the Word of God by my circumstances. I judge the circumstances by the Word of God. And John 10:10 tells me that there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And that has to be the dividing line for me. When we go through rough things, it is not God. It is the thief, and he doesn't play fair. And so we have to decide what we're going to do when tough things happen. And we, as Christians, choose to judge our circumstances by the Word of God and stick to it. Stick to it. Don't let just because something bad happens make you quit. I still win. I have an eternity with my son. 24 years was nothing compared to what we have ahead. Amen? I want to talk to you today about what to do when it looks like faith isn't working. Because when we start believing God for something, we hear Pastor David up here give an inspirational, I'm sure, message. By the way, I've heard y'all are the rowdy bunch. I was kind of feeling that during praise and worship. I like the rowdy crowd. When he gives an inspirational message, when he's up here talking about, or what was my brother's name, Jason? Is up here talking about God's your source and trust and believe when you put the money in the bucket and you're like, yes, I'm going to believe, and you set your faith on something, that's the easy part. When we hear it and we're excited about it, we hear a promise from God, yes, he's our source. But time has a way of sucking the life out of something. If we're believing God for our healing and it takes a period of time before we see that manifest, sometimes that weakens our faith. And we want to talk about what to do when it looks like faith isn't working. How do we finish? Starting's easy. I want to finish. The glory of God's in the finish. And I don't want to give up and quit my faith. So let's get started on that. I'm going to give you some 1-2-3s today. Just what to think through when your brain says, hey, this isn't working. First of all, when we say it doesn't look like it's working, we're looking at the wrong thing. We've got to know that. The Word of God is our evidence. Let's go to, start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. And let's look at what we're looking at when it looks like faith isn't working. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. That is real easy to read and real hard to do. We walk by faith and not by sight. We are so sense ruled. Oh, I didn't receive I must not have received my healing because that headache isn't gone. What? No, we don't go by what's sensed. We walk by faith and not by sight. My dad always has taught me to say we walk by faith and not what is, but not by what is sensed. Because those five physical senses are pretty strong, in case you haven't noticed. If you've had pain in your body and you're believing God for your healing, that pain sensation is loud. It's loud. And we've got to learn to make the Word louder than what we're seeing, than what we're feeling, than what we're hearing, than what we're sensing. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Anytime you see the word faith, you can put the Word of God in, and it will not change the meaning because faith comes from the Word. Let's try that. Now the Word of God is the substance of things hoped for. The Word of God is the evidence of things not seen. So when you find a promise in that Bible that you're holding in your lap and you see God has promised you something, it becomes your evidence that it's true. Not how you feel, not how your bank account looks, not how your husband's acting, not how your wife's acting, not how your children are acting, but the Word of God becomes your evidence. Do you remember the story of Abraham? He was promised something. What was he promised? I like correspondence. A son. He was promised a son. He was old, older than David. Old. Could still happen for you, Dave. Still happen for you. Kathy says no. He was promised a son. It looked like faith wasn't working. Years passed. Sarah's still not expecting. It looked like faith wasn't working. So they tried to help God out. You ever tried to help God out? Yeah. Bad idea, especially when it involves another woman. Not good. Not good. So he brings in the maid. They decide, hey, maybe God meant that you're supposed to sleep with the maid and have a baby with her. Wasn't God's plan. Don't try to help God out. Take him at his word. Take him at his word. But it came to a place where the scripture says Abraham considered not his own body. Now that's a very tough thing to do. When you're believing God for your healing and you don't consider your body. Now, I'm not talking about not going to the doctor. I'm talking about using wisdom. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But considering taking the word above what you see, taking the word above what you feel, letting the word be the evidence and not what you're seeing. That's what we're talking about today. And that's tough to do. So when it looks like faith isn't working, we're obviously looking at the wrong thing. Because if we're looking at the word, we know faith is working. We know it. We know that we know that we know in our knowers. That's what faith is. When you know that you know that you know in your knower, you know you're in faith. Otherwise, we're in hope. My dad used to say this all the time. I've listened to him for so many years. I'm sorry. It just comes out what he said. I'll quit giving him credit someday, and I'll just claim it as my own. He used to say, hope's great. When the ship's sinking, you'll grin as you're going under. That's hope. Faith makes us walk on water. We don't want to just be in hope. We want to be in faith. And we have to judge ourselves and see where we are. So the number one thing to do when it looks like faith isn't working is look at what you're looking at. You better be looking at the word. Not judging if it's working or not by what you're sensing, but judging if it's working or not by the word of God. You've got to know your promises. You've got to know what the scripture says to you and what it says about you. Faith has an expectancy to it. I expect my body to change when I speak to it. I expect your body to change when we lay hands on you and pray for you. But I'm not going to judge that on how I feel. I'm going to judge it by the promise and by the word of God. It has to be my evidence. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. I just love the word. I'm so thankful that I was raised the way I was raised and that I had this foundation under me when the rug was pulled out from under me. You just, whether you think you need it or not, folks, if life is beautiful and perfect, keep building that foundation. Keep building it. It's so important. Luke chapter 17. And verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as he went into Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that stood afar off. They were lepers. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, and all the women who were here yesterday know what this means. Circle it. As they went, they were cleansed. All right, 10 lepers. Leprosy showed up on their skin. It was literally a flesh-eating disease. They weren't allowed to be in public because of it. And so they see Jesus, the healer. They want that promise. They want that healing. They call out to him for it. They ask him for it. And he looks at them and he says, go show yourself to the priest. A leper, when they were cleansed, when their leprosy was cured or gone, they had to go to the priest and be pronounced clean, and then they could enter back into society. So Jesus looks at these lepers who are still eaten up with leprosy, and he says, go show yourself to the priest. He's wanting them to walk in faith. They have to take what Jesus said and do it even when it looks like nothing's happened. And it says, as they went. That tells me they took him at his word, brother. They started towards the priest. That tells me they believed that what he said was going to come to pass even before they could see it on their own skin. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. That, folks, that is faith. That is what we look at. Number two, when it looks like faith isn't working, don't say it. Don't say it. Never take back your words of faith. Always make sure that your saying lines up with your praying. If you come up here and you have Brother David lay hands on you or get an agreement with you concerning your finances, if you have a need in your finances and he gets an agreement with you that that need is met, that God is your source, you've sown and therefore you're going to reap, and y'all get an agreement and you're so excited, and then you go to work the next day and your coworker looks at you and says, how are things going? Oh man, I'm under some pressure. I don't know how I'm going to pay this bill. I don't know what I'm going to do about this. I think we may lose our house. What? What? Our saying and our praying, they should be the same. They should be the same. They should line up with each other. Never void out your words of faith with words of doubt. If I take two glasses of water up here, and one's got poison in it, and one's pure water, and I mix them together, are you going to drink it? No, because what happened to the water? When you mix fear and faith, doubt and faith, you've got doubt. It goes to the lower form. When you mix water and poison, as pure as that water may be, if you put poison in it, you've got poison water. And you can't mix your words, fear and faith, faith in here when you're with the congregation of the saints, and fear out there when you're with your coworkers, and it be faith. They don't mix. We've got to keep them pure. Make sure your saying lines up with your praying. There's an interesting little phrase in Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to pick this out, verse 31. You all are, I'm sure, familiar with Matthew 6. But he makes this statement. He says, take no thought saying. And I find that phrase so interesting because you have so many thoughts going through your head right now. Most of them probably have nothing to do with what I'm talking about up here. Your brain works so fast, and your thoughts, we have to really control the thing. Or we're planning supper, we're planning what the kids, how the son played football last night. I mean, your brain's going fast. Real fast, faster than we want it to. But not every thought we take. He says here, take no thought saying. When you have a thought, it doesn't look like this is working. It doesn't look like I received my healing. It doesn't look like this is going to happen. Don't say it. Don't take that thought. Do not give that thought power. And I promise you, when you decide to set your faith on something, thoughts of doubt are coming. The scripture says Satan comes immediately to try to steal the word that you placed in your heart. Trust that. God told us that because he wanted us to be prepared for it. As soon as you decide to believe for something, thoughts of doubt are coming. That doesn't mean you're not in faith. Just don't take the thought. And don't take the thought by saying it. Matthew chapter 5. Love this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. There came a ruler of the synagogue. His name was Jairus. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he asked him, he said, my little daughter lies at the point of death, and I pray that you will come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and that she may live. And Jesus went with him. That tells me right there, He knew Jesus was going to take care of that little girl. Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. And you remember in this procession to Jairus' house, something else happened. There came a woman with an issue of blood. And so it stops the procession because Jesus deals with her and heals her. So pick back up in verse 35. And while he was yet speaking to that situation, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, from Jairus' house, a certain man who said, "Your daughter's dead. Why are you troubling Jesus with this anymore?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Don't be afraid, only believe." And I said it to the early morning crowd this way. Jesus said it that way. I would have said it this way: shut up. Shut up. Something contrary comes to what you've just set your faith on. No, do not open your mouth. Unless it's going to be the word of God and the promise that he's given to you, do not say it. Don't say it. Our words have so much power. They set our will. Just as God's word sets his will, our words set our will. You can't mix. Don't mix. Don't say it. Do not be afraid, only believe. Jesus was shutting him down. He was getting his mind back to the point of faith and not letting him wander off in his mind to what he was hearing, what he was sensing, what he just found out, and I know this feeling. Your daughter's dead. Now, he had to, no wonder Jesus said, Oh, do not be afraid, only believe. Can you imagine the thoughts? The doubt. It's over. Wonder how my wife is. How am I going to tell the grand? I mean, just all those thoughts whirlwinding around. And Jesus said, no, shut it down. Shut it down. Put your brain back on the promise. I'm coming to heal her. And as you know, Jesus went and raised her up. He did not give up on the promise. No matter what he saw, no matter what he heard, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear, you've got to leave faith working. Do not call it off the job, because faith will not fail. It will not fail. It can't. It comes from God. The trouble is, we quit. We give up on faith. So number three, when it looks like faith isn't working, do not quit. Don't forfeit the game just because it looks like you're losing. You ever seen a last second win? You ever seen a last second win? I was hoping for one last night. Didn't happen. Go Hogs. Don't quit just because it looks like you're losing. If it's not over, it's not over. Keep faith working. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, "For all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and they are amen, to the glory of God by us." One version that I read said, the promise is said by God, the amen is said by us. God makes the promise. Who can tell me what the word amen means? So be it. God says the promise. By Jesus' stripes, you are healed. So be it. God makes the promise. You say the amen. Nothing happens just because God made the promise. Oh, if it was that way, wouldn't it be great? Just because he said it, it was so? No, he needs your amen. He needs your so be it. And that is so important. Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness is to all generations. You have established the earth, and it abides." If God's word is forever settled in heaven, and his promises that he made, he has said yes to. See, he can't say no to his promise. What do you call somebody that says no to their promise? A liar. The scripture says he's not a man that he should lie. So he has said yes to his promise. See, the religious world tries to tell us if our prayers aren't answered, it's God saying no. He can't say no to his promise and make him a liar. If your prayer's not answered, we've got to go back to the Word and find out where we're missing it, because it's sure not God. And we need to get that established. So if we know his promises are yes, and we know that his word is forever settled in heaven, how come we quit? How come we quit? Never look for a place to quit. Never say this: I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God for my healing. But if it doesn't happen by the seventh, only our government is this stupid to say to the enemy when we're going to pull out. I'm sorry. He does not like for me to get political, but you know it's true. It is true. Now pray and vote. Pray and vote. Pray and vote. Is that okay? Okay. Not telling you how to vote. I'm just saying pray and vote. They're both important. You don't tell the enemy when you're pulling out, because what will the enemy do? He's going to work with that. You just gave him the info. You just gave him the game plan. You don't give the enemy your game plan. That's right. Don't look for a place to quit. Never set a place to quit. You're in this thing to the win. You're in this fight to the win. That's the way you fight the fight of faith. As many rounds as it takes, I'm in for the win. I'm not looking for a place to quit. I won't quit short of it. I won't live short of it. I won't settle short of it. I'm not looking for an Ishmael, folks. I'm looking for an Isaac. I'm looking for the promised child, and that's what I'm going to have. So when you know that you know that you know that there's a victory assured, if you know that you know that you know that God's word is true, I think most of us believe that. We say we believe that, but do we act like we believe that? If we believe that we believe that we believe that we have the victory, if you're in a game and I come to you and I say, you're going to win this game, I bought them off. I've bought this game, just play it. Are you going to quit because you're behind? Or it looks like you're losing? Not if you trust me. Your game's been bought. Your victory has been paid for. Don't quit because it looks like you're losing when he has told you, he's given you the victory. He has already defeated the enemy. Why would we quit? Why would we quit? Keep up the good fight of faith. You are guaranteed the win. And if you get tired, get help. The story of Moses, y'all will laugh this morning because I said it wrong. It was so funny. I hope you didn't record that. I could just see you doing a Susan blooper reel someday. Moses is watching the children of Israel. They're in battle. Joshua's down there leading the army of Israel. The enemy is fighting against them. Moses is standing on the mountain. And as long as Moses holds up his hands, the Israelites are winning. But when Moses lets down his hands, then the enemy starts prevailing. It's a long battle. We're not dropping a bomb here. We're fighting hand to hand. This is days. Moses gets tired of fighting the fight. He lets his hands down. The enemy starts winning. So what happens? Aaron and Hur, not Ben-Hur that I said this morning, Aaron and Hur come and they get on either side of Moses and they hold, first of all, they set him on a rock, the word, and then they hold up his hands until the victory is won. That is the beauty of the body of Christ. When somebody's going through a long battle with addiction, when somebody's going through a never-ending battle of grief from losing someone they love, you be that body of Christ that holds up their hands and helps them win that victory. I ask our church, who won the victory? Joshua down on the field? Moses on the mountain? Or Aaron and Hur on the sidelines? It's a team. It's a team. You are the body of Christ. Help each other not to quit when you're in battles that are tiring. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't throw away your confidence. Do not. Did y'all turn my clock off? I just have 3 minutes left. Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. This is the last service. I can stay all day. It will be richly rewarded. Thank you. I like this crowd. You can go to lunch if you want to. We're staying. So do not throw away your confidence, because it will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere. Circle it. Persevere. It's a word that most Christians hate, because it means it's not instant. But you need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Just doing the will of God doesn't get us there. Persevering until we have it gets us there. And we've got to remember that. Number four, when it looks like faith isn't working, you've got to realize that not everything is instant, folks. You drive up at one window at the restaurant, at the next window you pick up your burger, we're spoiled. Not everything is instant all of the time. It is called the good fight of faith. You can win it, but you've got to stay in it to win it. If you're in faith, time doesn't matter, because you know you win. And that helps you endure. That faith keeps my peace. Hebrews 6:12 says, we don't want you to become lazy. We don't want you to become lazy, but we want you to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Patience is faith's running buddy. They've got to be partnered together. They'll help you get through to the end. Shocking to think that not everything was instant for Jesus. Shocking to think that not everything. He had to fight the fight of faith. Mark chapter 8, they bring a blind man to him. And if we said what happens when Jesus prays for a blind man, we would say, they see. But we got to read this. They bring a blind man to Jesus. Jesus spits on his eyes. I don't understand. But anyway, spits on his eyes. And he says, do you see anything? And most churches would go, yeah. No. The guy said, I see men as trees walking. That's short of the promise. Jesus didn't settle for it. That, oh man, we settle short of the promise so many times. Ishmaels. Oh, keep going. You're just partway there. So you're off of some medication. Let's go ahead. Why are we quitting where we're comfortable? That's not the finish line. Jesus got a promise out there that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. So what does Jesus do? Put his hands back on the guy's eyes until he could see clearly. It wasn't instant for Jesus either. What are we so freaked out about? Because we prayed about this headache and we can still feel it. Take a Tylenol, stand on the word that this thing will never come back. Number five, 8 seconds. It's not going to happen, I guarantee you it is not going to happen. David talked too long. When it looks like faith isn't working, know where you are in faith, in your faith maturity. Realize that we grow in faith, folks. If you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. Don't die trying to be in faith. Obviously it is cheaper and less time consuming to be healed by faith. Way less frustrating to be healed by faith. But if you're not there, you need to know it so you don't die. Use your faith with the doctor's help and get the end result that's promised, which is health. We've got to use wisdom. Don't bite off more than you can chew. Know your faith maturity level. David didn't start off with a giant. He started off with a lion and a bear. You start with a cold. You start with a headache. And then when the diagnosis comes, you've exercised your faith muscles. Jesus said to the disciples, they're in a boat. There's a storm. They freak out. Jesus, he's asleep in the storm. Shows you his peace level. He's not worried about it. They freak out. They wake him up. Don't you even care that we're going to die? And Jesus says, why is it you have no faith? That's the no faith level. Totally moved by your circumstances. Totally freaked out by your circumstances. If that's where you are, you need to know that's where you are. And you need to know you don't need to stay there. Second thing comes. Second level. It's mentioned in Matthew 14, Peter's walking on the water. Peter is walking on the water. He has started something in faith. He is walking on the water. But as he's walking on the water and as he's believing he's going to go to Jesus, he gets sidetracked and distracted by wind and waves. So it looks like things are going great, and then adverse circumstances come, and he's moved by them. That's the second level of faith. And he said, "Oh, ye of little faith." If that's where you are, you need to know it, and you need to grow from there. Luke chapter 7, and centurion comes to him, and he says, "My servant is at home, and he's sick of the palsy. I need you to heal him." And Jesus said, "I'll come." He said, "No, no, no. There's no need for you to come. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Jesus looked at the crowd, and he said, "I have never seen faith like this, even among covenant people." That he called great faith. He took Jesus at his word, and Jesus' word was all he needed. That's where we're headed, church. That's where we want to be, and that's where we get results. Know where you are in faith. Faith can only carry you to the question mark in your mind. Faith can only carry you to the question mark in your mind. Number 6, if it looks like faith isn't working, don't let up, beef up. Weak faith means weak word. If you need more faith, you need to be hearing more word. If you're going through big things, you need to be hearing big word on it. You need to keep it in front of you. I love this example. My son, he ate. I do have a daughter too, and a son-in-law and a grandbaby and a wonderful husband, just in case y'all need to know. I'll show you pictures afterwards if you need to see those. My son ate every 2 hours the moment he was born. Every 2 hours, night, day, did not matter. You got one of those. Great potential for great strength because they're taking in so much. And he could lift his rattle. He could shake that rattle. He was the strongest little infant because he ate. Sickly babies and babies that don't eat can't even play. They don't have the energy for it. He ate and he lifted a rattle. When he was 24 years old, he was still eating every 2 hours. But he could bench over 425 pounds. And I guarantee you, I promise you, he ate more to lift the 425 pounds than he did to lift the rattle. Now, how many of you are trying to lift more in your faith and still eating the same amount of word that you did when you were first saved? It won't work. You're not going to have it in you to do it. You've got to increase your word to increase your faith. I'm glad there's no negative mark on that clock back there, because it's important to know that not only did he have to eat more and change what he ate, he also had to lift more. He didn't go from a rattle to 425 pounds. He went from a rattle to 5 pounds, to 10 pounds, to 25 pounds, the lion, the bear, the giant. You can't just hear the word. You've got to use the word that you hear, folks. That's what changes the level of faith you can operate in. Faith comes by hearing the word, and then the strength of faith comes by using that word. Use it on the cold. Use it on the cold. Use it on the cough. Use it on the headache. And then if a diagnosis comes, big deal. I've killed the cold. Remember what David said? I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of those. I've killed the cough. I've killed, so what, addiction? So what? I've killed everything that's come against the covenant of God. And this thing's going down just like they did. So when it looks like faith isn't working, beef up. Beef up. Beef up what you're hearing and beef up how you're using it, and you will grow in your faith. And I am out of time. If you are in a long battle, I don't care what it is, addiction, health, marital, I don't care what it is. If you're in a long battle, I'd like for you to stand up. A battle that makes you feel tired sometimes. A battle that makes you feel, sometimes you just get tired. Just stand up right where you are. Wow, church body. These are your Moses, BCC. It's hard for me not to say RCC. What these people here are representing to you is people that need you to hold up their hands. Because when you're in a long battle, it's easy to get tired, and it's easy to want to sit down and quit. So if you know one of these, you have an assignment. Pray. Love on. Give attention to. Check on. Don't drive them nuts. Don't drive them nuts. Be there. Be there. Be available. So as a church body, let's reach our hands out towards these that are standing. Right now, just reach your hands out towards these that are standing. Father, you see these that are standing, and you know the individual cases of what it is that's trying to wear them down. And we here today come together as a church body and as the body of Christ, and not only symbolically hold up their hands, but we commit as the body of Christ to lift up these that we know and to hold up their hands until they declare that a victory has been won. When they declare that a victory has been won, we'll move on and we'll hold up somebody else's hands. But these are ours for today. And we are in agreement that your Holy Spirit stirs up on the inside of them in those moments where it's really easy to quit, it's really easy to get tired. We'll be praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, we know, will be at work in the lives, even in the minds that are tired, the Holy Spirit will stir up in, and they will think, somebody in my church body is praying for me today. Somebody's holding up my hand. Somebody's got my back. And we will not let up until victory is declared. We commit to it. We're not just making empty promises. We commit to it until victory is declared. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, you can be seated. If you need hands laid on you for healing, if you have anything in your body that's going on that doesn't need to be there, healing ministry is one of my favorite things, because it's one of Jesus' favorite things. It's one thing he did, is went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I don't care if it's mental or physical. If you need prayer, come on up front. Let's get it taken care of. Let's get faith started. Let's get faith started today. Today is the day we're setting that we received, and that we're not going to let go of what we're having prayed for today. We're not going to say anything opposite it, contrary to it. We're sticking with it today. Y'all can come on up here, sis.